Oh, that is so good. I hope that you keep that up. And I have found, this is the honest truth, that people that don't bring their Bibles or don't have their Bibles, I've seen backsliding going on. So I encourage you, stay close to the Word of God and stay in the Word of God. And we'll be preaching from the Word of God. And we're reading through the Bible. And it's great to read through the Bible. A lot of times my messages dovetail with readings in the Bible. So it's really great to know. And this coming December 31st, Watch Night, we're going to give out our new Bible reading schedule for 2024. And we just want to keep on keeping on with that. But Brother Z just sang a song, I Shall Not Be Moved. And I listened to a song this past week. And guess what the name of that song is? God Still Moves. God Still Moves. I shall not be moved, but God still moves. God still moves. God still moves. In the heart of people, God still moves. He does not sleep, nor does he slumber. God still moves. God still moves. How many have heard that song? All right, amen and amen. We're not gonna sing that song all the way through, but I wanted you to recognize it because that is the name of my message tonight. God still moves. And what I want to say to you about God's movements and God's moving is that's what we need today. That's what you need today. You need God to move in your heart. God's people, we need God to move in and through our hearts. And there have been these movements of God, and we know that there will be movements of God in the future based on our text for tonight, but we need to know that God still moves right now in the present, and he can and does move in your heart and in the hearts of his people. And I believe we need a fresh movement of God. We need God, the Holy Ghost, to move in and through the hearts of God's people in these dark days. These days of apostasy, when people are having a form of godliness, but they don't know anything about a relationship and the power of God in their lives. And so they have a lot of talk about God, but no real walk with God. We need God to move in mighty revival power. And I want to say God has really moved in mighty ways in the past. And I want to ask, can we expect a movement of God today? So I'd like you to please turn tonight to Ezekiel chapter 43. We've been reading in Ezekiel, and I'd like you to turn to Ezekiel 43, and I want to look at verse 2 as our text for tonight. God still moves, and I want to read this verse 2 of chapter 43 of the book of Ezekiel. And in your copy of God's Word, here's what it should say. It says, and behold, the glory of the God of Israel came from the way of the east, and his voice was like a noise of many waters, and the earth shined with his glory. Ezekiel 43, verse 2. Now, really what you're seeing here in this prophecy in Ezekiel is a real movement of God. Now, this is a prophecy not of something that already is fulfilled in the past. This is a prophecy of a move of God that will happen during the final dispensation when the Lord is back and his kingdom is set up on earth. He's talking about a movement of God at that time in the millennial earth while the temple of God is here on earth. And that's what this prophecy looks forward to. But we not only have a movement of God in the future we can look forward to and movements of God, we can look back in the past. Our former pastor used to say God did it then, God can do it again, God does it through men. And so tonight, the message is God still moves, and we are to be waiting for not only the Lord to come back, but for God to move right now. We're to be waiting for God to move in a mighty way, in mighty power. And that's what I'd like to talk to you about tonight. I'd like to talk to you three things about that. First of all, God moved in way back then. God moved in way back then. All right, and I would like you to notice that in Exodus 40, verses 33 and 34, God moved in way back then. Here's what it says in that reference, Exodus 40, 33 and 34. It says this, "And he reared up the court round about the tabernacle and the altar, and set up the hanging of the court gate. So Moses finished the work. Then a cloud covered the tent of the congregation, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle." Now notice, God moved in. Moses set up the tabernacle. God told him, "This is the way I want you to build it, Moses. I want you to build the altar this way. I want you to build the altar of incense this way, the Ark of the Covenant this way." And Moses had skilled men that would do that for him. And he carried out exactly what God said. And God said, "I've got this in heaven, but I want you to make a copy of it for the earthly people, and you make the form." And when Moses finished the work that God had given him to do, and it was constructed, this tabernacle was constructed, the Bible says here, the glory cloud moved from heaven into that tabernacle and filled the finished earthly tabernacle. And once the glory cloud moved in, that was the presence of God, the very presence of the living God of Israel. And he came into that tabernacle, and he didn't leave it. He came in there and guided them for 40 years through the wilderness. He came in there and he protected them. The glory cloud was with them in that tabernacle after Moses did the work and finished the work. Now, then, that was God moving in, you see, to be with his people, and not only to move into the tabernacle, but the Bible says he filled it. He filled it with his presence. He filled it with his power. Now, secondly, later on, after Israel was in their land, had settled in their land, God told King David that his son Solomon would build a temple. And he told him how to build it. And Solomon was able to finish the temple that God gave him the job to build. And he built that temple. And then the Bible says in 1 Kings 8:11, God moved in. And here's what it says. It says, "And it came to pass when the priests were come out of the holy place that the cloud filled the house of the Lord." Same cloud. What is that cloud? It's the glory of God. What's the glory of God? It's God manifesting his person. And it's bright. The cloud was a bright outshining of God's person. And it was so strong that Moses couldn't go in the tabernacle when the glory cloud moved in. It was so strong that Solomon, not only Solomon, but the priests could not minister in that temple of God, because after it was finished, the glory of God moved in. God moved in to that temple. Now, let me say something to you, that was in the Old Testament. But we're saying that God still moves. He moved in way back then in the tabernacle. He moved in way back then in the temple. But that's not the only time God, by his glory, moved in. And I want you to notice, the Lord Jesus finished the work of our salvation. When he was on that cross, he stretched out his arms and he said, "It is finished." And the Bible said he died for the church. He died and was buried and rose again, listen to me, so that God could move in to your life, so that God could move into your spirit, so that God could move into your temple, the local New Testament church. And God didn't move in until Moses finished the tabernacle. God didn't move in until Solomon finished the temple. And hey, God did not move in until Jesus finished the work of our redemption on that cross and said, "It is finished." He died, he was buried, then he rose again. He ascended into heaven, and 10 days later, God moved in. And that was on the day of Pentecost. And the Bible is very clear in Acts chapter 2 how God moved in on that day of Pentecost. In fact, it says in Acts 2:2, "And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting." God moved in, and he filled that house where they were sitting. And the glory of God was there in a wonderful way. And his presence was there in a wonderful way. Do you know that God's presence is in your heart? Do you know if you're a born-again believer, your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit? Do you know that the church plural, according to 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 16, that we together are the house of God, we are the temple of God, and the presence of the glory of God dwells in us, not in a physical manifestation of it, but in a powerful spiritual manifestation of it. And so God moved in on that day of Pentecost, and the Bible said it. The presence of God filled the house. You know, sadly, however, in our day, you don't see that oftentimes. You don't see people filled with the sense of the presence of God. You don't see a movement of God in and through the hearts of God's people. We don't see churches that are filled with the sense of God's presence, so that when you come in, you sense God is moving in and through his people. And that's sad, because God moved in way back then in the tabernacle. God moved in way back then in the temple in Jerusalem. And God moved in way back then in the temple called the church, the people of Almighty God. And I want to say to you that revival is a movement of God's presence that is done so as to fill and overflow a person or a group of people with a sense of God's presence. You see, on the day of Pentecost, when God moved in, he moved in to permanently live in the hearts of God's people. He never moves out of your heart once he's in. Amen. God doesn't move out. I'm glad he doesn't move out. Amen. You can move. I can move. God does not move. Amen. He stays right there in your heart. But you know what? We need God to fill our heart. We need God to flow out of our heart. It doesn't say, "Out of your belly there shall trickle a little bit of living water." It says, "Out of your belly," which is speaking of your spirit, the innermost part of you, "there shall flow rivers of living water." That is the glory of God. That is a movement of God in and through your life. Beloved, tonight I'm saying to you, God still moves. He moved in way back then. He did it in the tabernacle. He did it in the temple. He did it in the New Testament temple, the church of the living God. And God is still doing it then. And a revival is when God moves in such a way that he fills you. He flows out through you, that you're full of the grace of God. In fact, the book of Acts said that the apostles, they were witnessing for Christ with such power that it says great grace was upon them. And that's what revival is all about, God filling and overflowing our lives. And by the way, it's interesting to me in our text. Go back to Ezekiel chapter 43, verse 2. I'm going to read that text again. You follow. It says, "And behold, the glory of the God of Israel came from the way of the what?" If you got it. What is it? The what? East. Say it again. The what? East. "Came from the way of the east. And his voice was like a noise of many waters." Now listen to me. God still moves. Amen? But listen to me. When God moves, he moves in a certain direction. The movement of God is from the east to the west. He moves from the east to the west. Now, he moves from the north, heaven, down into earth, which we saw happen in our text. But once he's here, he moves when he's moving in a good way. When he's moving in a gracious way, he moves in from the east to the west. And that's what we need today. And, you know, I'll give you an example of that. Look at Acts chapter 2. When God came down from heaven, the Holy Spirit, the Bible says in Acts 1, Jesus went up. And the Bible says in Acts 2, the Holy Spirit came down. And then in Acts chapter 3 and beyond, the church went out. When there is a movement of God, it moves you to want to go out soul winning. When God's working in my life, I want to go out on bus ministry. Right. Who was it that said tonight? We had a glorious day Saturday, Diane. And that is a movement of God in your life. D.L. Moody said one time, a guy said, I want to tell you about my experience with God. He said, how many souls have you had since you got filled with the Holy Spirit of God and had that experience with God? He said, none. I'm not. He said, well, then sit down. I don't want to hear your movement of God. You see, in Acts chapter 2, when the Holy Spirit came down, beloved, the church went out. Right. Peter, who had been afraid of his own shadow, preached and 3,000 were saved. I'm saying to you, God still moves. We were praying yesterday for God to move in our church services. I don't know about you, but I was thrilled this morning. 115 people came. I was thrilled. And by the way, when does God move? After we do our work. They did their work of building the tabernacle. They did their work of building the temple. And once they were done, they built the form, God moved. He came in. And we work hard and we seek to do the Great Commission, but then we depend on God to move. Amen. And if God doesn't move, nothing happens. We've got to have God move. But thank God he does move. Amen. God still moves. And so he moves from the east to the west, and we prayed about that. And that was so encouraging to me to hear all these young people coming to church today. And I asked my wife, she counseled some of them. I said, what did they say? One girl said, well, a friend of mine just said, she said, come to the church. I want you to come to church. And she came, and they came. And then when they came, God moved in their hearts. When I gave the invitation, many, many hands went up. And many trusted the Lord as their Savior this morning. God still moves, beloved. Right. Hey, he still moves. I'm glad I didn't move. I'm glad I was there yesterday in Revival Seekers Prayer Meeting. Good. I'm glad I was there on the bus route yesterday. I'm glad I was out there knocking on the doors and God still moves. I'm glad we still have Operation Door Knocking and we're going and knocking on the doors in Scranton and people are speaking up and giving the gospel of Jesus Christ. Why am I glad for that? Because, beloved, God still moves. He moves in the hearts of people. And you are out there and you can trust that God will move in the hearts because he did it way back then. God moved in way back then. And he moved from the east to the west. Let me give you an example. Not only in Ezekiel did he move from the east to the west. That's a prophecy, by the way, of the future. But we see it in the past as well. And you see it in the Garden of Eden. God moved into the Garden of Eden, you know. And he walked with Adam in the cool of the day, and then Adam sinned. And what happened? The Bible said that God would not let him go to the tree of life, Adam and Eve. And there was an angel there, two cherubim there guarding the entrance. Do you know where the entrance was into the presence of God? It was on the east of the garden. It was on the east. And if you wanted to go worship in God's temple, the temple was without hands. It was in the Garden of Eden. That's where God's glory was. That's where his presence was. Before there was a temple, that's where God's footstool was. He was there still in the garden. Adam had been kicked out. But he had access through the cherubim being there. And remember, that's when at the end of days on the Sabbath, they would offer an animal sacrifice. And that's when Cain decided, I don't want to do it that way. I don't want to offer the sacrifice. And God didn't accept. But they worshiped God on the east. And God met with them. And he moves. And then we see in Jerusalem when the Holy Spirit came down and filled the church. the Bible says they went out. And where did they go? They went from Jerusalem all the way to Rome. And the book of Acts is the gospel going from the east to the west. And once it got to Rome, guess where? It went to Spain. The Bible speaks in Romans about Paul going to Spain. And that was west of Rome. And then what happened then? Well, we know it went across the Atlantic Ocean to America. Amen? And then it went on to China and to Asia. And it moved from east to west, beloved. God still moves. You know what? We're in the original colonies of the United States right here. Pennsylvania, America starts here. That used to be on our license plate. America starts here. God moved in the great United States. Do you know the United States was founded during times of God's moving, during times of revival? And God was moving in a mighty way in the United States of America. And he moved in the east, which the 13 original colonies, but then he moved across to the west, and we had this country was founded in revival. You know why this country's in such a mess today? You know why we've gotten away from the Constitution? You know why people are seeking to be a different gender than God told them they are? Do you know why people are seeking to go away from God and do his, because there is too little of a movement of God in and through the hearts of God's people. We need the Holy Spirit to fill us, to fill our house, to fill our city, to fill it so that when people come in here, they know that God is real. Do you believe God still moves?
Good.
He does move. There are movements of God where his presence is poured out in and through your heart, in and through your spirit. And you say, well, I don't want any more. I'm satisfied where I am. I'm satisfied with what level I've arrived at. Well, then you don't have my heart on that.
Right.
I'm not satisfied. I'm not content to stay where I am when it comes to God. I need God to move. And God moved in way back then. He can do it again. And I want to say that God moved in way back then. But I want to say a second thing tonight, and that is God moved back away back then. Let me say that again. God not only moved in way back then, but God moved away way back then. And I want to say to you that why God moved away way back then. Look at Ezekiel 43 and look at verse 7 through 9. And I'll read it. He said unto me, Son of man, the place of my throne and the place of the soles of my feet, where I will dwell in the midst of the children of Israel forever. And my holy name shall the house of Israel no more defile, neither they nor their kings by their what? Whoredom. Nor by the carcasses of their kings in their high place. You know what whoredom is? Whoredom is when you cheat on your mate. Whoredom is when you lust for somebody other than your mate. And do you know that Israel was married to Jehovah God? But they lusted for false gods. Even when they were in Egypt, they brought the gods of Egypt out into the wilderness so that when the glory of God was leading them through the wilderness and they could see his glory, they were worshiping the gods of the Egyptians and the gods of the pagan people around them. They were enamored with those. They were cheating on God. I was telling my men the other day that I had a lady in my church years ago. A precious lady, and we remember praying for her, and she would talk about her husband. This was decades ago, but she would talk about her husband, and he would bring in a different woman into the house right in front of her. She would be in there, and he would say, here, this is my girlfriend, and he would proceed to fornicate, to commit adultery by fornication in her presence, in her house. Can you imagine that? And what that poor lady went through. I remember it to this day. And I remember a man in this church years ago that he was injured in an accident. And he would come to church and he was injured and he had accepted the Lord. But his wife would bring different men in and he couldn't even really walk and talk. But he would listen to her cheating right next to him in the bedroom and in the house with other men. Whoredom! and the painfulness of it. Can you imagine it? And this man finally moved away from the area, and he said, "Pastor, I'm going back to Puerto Rico." I said, "I understand, my friend. Go with God, and I'll pray for you." Oh, what a horrible thing. And he moved out. He couldn't take it anymore. And that's where God was. He said, "I can't take these abominations. I can't take this cheating that's going on. And I'm going to move out of this temple of Almighty God." And so that's exactly what he did. If you look at Ezekiel chapter 9, verse 3, it tells us about that. And I'll read it. Ezekiel 9, 3, it says this: "And the glory of the God of Israel was gone up from the cherub whereupon he was to the threshold of the house of God." It was like God was reluctant. He didn't want to move out on his wife, Israel, that he loved. But he couldn't take the cheating. And he moved out where he was in the Holy of Holies. His glory was still there. For 400 years, the glory, the presence of God was there amongst his people. But he moved out away from between the two cherubim in the Holy of Holies. And he moved out to the threshold of the house of God, right on the threshold, and looked in and saw the abomination continue, beloved. And then it says in Ezekiel 10:18 and 11:23, Ezekiel saw God begin to depart, and he moved back away from the threshold, and he moved back away from the temple altogether, and finally he even moved away from the city of Jerusalem. And you know which way he moved? He moved east. He moved from west to east. Now when God moves, he moves from what? East to west. But when God moves back, he moves back to the east. I don't know about you, but I remember the Beatles. How many remember the Beatles? Not many. "I want to hold your hand," you know. And I remember that. And I remember the Beatles got going, and they came from England, and they came over here, and everybody wore the mop tops, and everybody went from Elvis to the Beatles. You know, Elvis the Pelvis to the Beatles. I remember that. And then I remember the Beatles, after they got singing, John Lennon said, "We're more popular than Jesus Christ." And then John Lennon was shot dead in the Dakota, New York City, by Mark David Chapman. And Satan was moving in Mark David Chapman. After the devil's done with you, he doesn't care about you. And I remember the Beatles, they got into LSD, they got into drugs, and guess where they went for religious instruction and teaching? These guys that came out of England, where George Whitfield was, these guys that came from John Wesley, where'd they go?
Eastern religion.
They went to Eastern religion. The Maharishi Mahesh Yogi. "I'm going to go to the Maharishi Mahesh Yogi." And they went there, and he taught them about religion and about God. And they went there, and then they started. George Harrison sang a song, "My Sweet Lord, My Sweet Lord." Remember that one, Jose? I kind of like the tune of that song, you know. But it wasn't the Lord Jesus. No, it was Hare Krishna. It says right in the song, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. It was Buddhism, Hinduism, I'm sorry. It was Eastern religion, pantheism. And I'm just saying to you that when God moves back away, he moves not from east to west, he moves back east. And then come in these Eastern religions, and came in these doctrines of devils, and have come in the false gods. Read Jonathan Cahn's book about the false gods that have moved back in, the ancient gods. Why? Because just like my friend moved away from his wife and let her whoredoms continue without him, and just like my friend, the girl, her husband did that, and finally she must have moved away from him. I don't know how she could take it. And yet his whoredoms no doubt continued. You see, that's what's happened in the United States of America. But I want to tell you, God still moves. He moved in way back then, and he also moved back away back then. And I want to say to you that the Lord Jesus, when he talks about the Laodicean church, and we're in the Laodicean age. I trust we're not a Laodicean church. Amen. I don't want to be a Laodicean church. But we live in a Laodicean age. And where is the Lord Jesus as far as the church is concerned? Brother Ryan, he's on the outside knocking on the door asking to come into the church. The church has put him on the outside, and they've got all the abominations on the inside instead of Jesus on the inside. And that's what we need. And you need to determine, listen to me, that you're going to hear his voice. The Bible said, he that hath an ear, let him hear what, Brother Matthew? What the angel saith to the churches. Yes. And you know what? The angel speaks the message of the Holy Spirit, because it is the Holy Spirit's message through the angel. Angel's just a messenger. He's just delivering the message of the Spirit of God when he preaches from the Word of God. By the way, if you're not preaching from the right Bible, how can you have the message of the Spirit of God? Because he inspired and preserved this King James Bible. I'm just saying to you that we don't want God to move back away from us. We want God to be close to us and be at home in our midst. And listen, if you have an ear to hear, you will hear what the angel gives from the Spirit to the churches. And I appreciate Ryan Wolf. He's here tonight. He wants to come back into the church. He's moving in the what? Right direction. I don't care where you are tonight. What direction are you moving in? Are you moving closer to God? Closer to his word? Closer to the man of God who has the message of the Spirit of God for the churches as the angel of the church? Are you there or not? I appreciate Ryan here. He's got the church app right on his phone. And he'll play it in his apartment. He'll play the preacher of Scranton Revival Baptist Church 3-4 times, and he cranks it up. So if anybody else is in that apartment, they're hearing it. And I had to laugh. I said, God's got a sense of humor, brother. I said, I was talking to his roommate, and I was telling him that. And I said, God's got a sense of humor just as sure as I'm standing here, or I was sitting at the time. God is good. God is glorious. But where are you moving? What direction are you moving in? Are you moving away from the man of God? You moving away from the word of God? You moving away from the church of God? You moving away? Or are you moving with God? God still moves. But is he moving through you? God moved in way back then. God moved back away back then. What about you? By the way, when you allow unconfessed sin to build up in the temple of your body and in this church temple, God the Holy Spirit, who lives in you and permanently lives in you if you're a child of God, do you know what? He's grieved inside of you. He's sad inside of you. When you're into idolatry and you have your idol, whatever it is, it could be sports. It could be Hollywood. It could be your music. Whatever it is, your idol that you have, some person that's an illicit person in your life, whatever it is, man, it's an idol. And the Holy Spirit is grieved. And God has to move back away his influence from you. And you know what? You get hard then. Without God in your life, your heart gets very hard. I don't want my heart to get hard. I want to be soft. I want God to be able to write on the fleshly tables of my heart, beloved. I don't want to get hard. God still moves. Is he moving in your life? And the Bible says this, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. He's not going to leave you. Right. But you can leave him. And you can grieve him. And you can replace him with other lovers. Other lovers that you love more than him. You adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that friendship with the world is the enemy of God. Right. I'm saying tonight, God still moves. He can move back away then from you like he did back then. And he moved in way back then. Which direction are you moving in? And God, the Holy Spirit, is also grieved today by twisting of God's grace. Jude wrote this. He said, "For certain men are crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of God into lasciviousness." You know what that is? Well, I preached on the grace of God, that God doesn't save us by our works, right? He saves us because he chooses to take our sin and put it on his son. And take his son and put it on us, so that we are accepted because of Christ. Amen. But there are people that preach that and they say, now that means you can live like the devil. It doesn't matter to God. You can live like the devil. Can I say something to you? It does matter to God. If I go out and I flirt with the girl at Dunkin' Donuts, I don't go to Dunkin' Donuts. But if I'm winking at her and flirting with her and drinking coffee and playing handsies or footsies or whatever you play over there at Dunkin' Donuts, my wife is not going to like it. And I'm a dead man walking, to quote the Israelis. You understand? I'm just saying, God still moves. And God doesn't say you can be saved and then do what you want to do and everything's going to be hunky-dory. It's a free gift, but beloved, it is not a free ride. Let me tell you. And you're not going to take the God of the Bible for a ride. And so tonight we're saying God still moves. He moved in way back then. He moved back away back then. And lastly, God will move in your time again. God will move in your time again. As I've quoted, Pastor Ware said, God did it then. God can do it again. God does it in and through yielded men. And I was thinking of this verse the other day. There was a king called Asa, king of Judah. He killed by God's power and help 1 million men that were attacking Israel. Can you imagine that? 1 million men had marched on Israel. And Asa, he depended on God. He said, God, I can't defeat that. And you know what? God will let things happen in your life that you just can't depend on yourself. You have to depend on God. But if you turn away from God and you depend on others instead of God, that's not a good thing. And Asa trusted God. But then, listen, his heart got hardened. He started trusting in other people. And he started not trusting in God. And God was jealous of that. And he sent a prophet to Asa, his preacher. His name was Hanani. Hanani, and he preached to Asa, and here's what he said. He said this, "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him." You say, Pastor, why do you believe that Donald Trump can get back in and that these guys can be thrown out? They're very powerful. Because I believe that God's eyes are looking to and fro to people that will depend upon his power, not their power. Amen. His wisdom, not their wisdom. God is looking for yielded hearts. I remember as a young man in Bible college, I would hear the teaching that when Christ died, not only did he die for my sins, but the old man died with him. And I was buried with him as the old man that I was, and that I've been raised with him as a new man. And now I'm joined to him spiritually, and he's working in me. And I can remember as I came into the world, I would be thinking about that. And thinking about Christ being manifest through me. And I was thinking about that. But when I got away from the Lord, I wasn't thinking about that. I was thinking about me and my old desires and how I would manifest them in the world. And that's when I would get backslid. Where are you? Where's your heart? The eyes of the Lord are looking for a heart that, and he's going to and fro, that is using our position in Jesus Christ so that Christ can move in our life. He can be manifest in our life. And are you desiring that with all of your heart? The eyes of the Lord will show that in your life. You know, sometimes we just forget about God and how God is watching over us. I was telling Karen this the other day. I was in my office on Saturday, and I had a prayer meeting, and then we had a bus captain's meeting, then we had a soul winning meeting, and then I was having lunch and meeting with some of the workers. And then after all that, everybody was out, and I was going to go out soul winning by myself, go up to Carbondale. And I was in my office, and I had the lunch that my wife made me, and I had a bowl, and I dropped the bowl, and it shattered. And I'm like, man. And I was trying to get out of there. I was trying to move. I have to go. I'm on a schedule, and that bowl dropped. And I was like, man, I got up to get going, and you won't believe it, but when I was going out of that office, my foot got caught on a cord, and I'm like, what's that cord doing? Holding me up now. And I looked down, and all of a sudden I said, Lord, thank you. Because if I didn't get that cord I left in the office for my laptop. My laptop was at home, and all the work that I had to do later on that night was dependent on me picking up that cord, which I'd totally forgot. And God had that cord hooked to my foot. And in my rush, I said, Lord, sorry. You're looking out for me. I am so busy for you that I'm like Martha. And I'm not having a merry little Christmas. Forgive me. And you know what? That's our God. That's my testimony. God will move in your heart, in your time, again, and he wants to move in your life again, and he wants to move in this church and fill this church, because we're the temple of God. And here's what he says in Ephesians chapter 3, Brother Steve, verse 21. He says this, now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be what?
Glory
in the church. Where is he? You know what glory in the church is? It's a manifestation of God's presence and his power. Do you sense him here tonight? I do. You know, I used to have a guy that would come to our church, and he would say, I feel like the Lord is sitting right there, and he'd have the pew where he sat. Now, we know Jesus is physically in heaven, but he could picture the Lord being right here in church. And the Bible says that Jesus is walking among the churches. Even in the last days. He's here tonight. And you're here tonight. And he says glory in the church is when it's like his presence is so thick, it's like butter. You can cut it like butter. That's what we need. You see, God is a spirit. And your spirit can never be satisfied by physical things, whether it's food, whether it's physical relationship with the opposite sex, whether it's this physical recreation or that physical thing. It can never be satisfied by that. You can only be satisfied by God. And God's glory is here to move in and through your life. Now, what is the result of God's glory? And I'll close with this. What is the result? Well, first of all, the Bible says, Jesus said to the apostles, the works that I do, you'll do, but greater works than these shall you do. And he was talking about the sign gifts, and the apostles did the sign gifts, and they could pass them on. But once that foundation was done, the greater works are changed lives through the gospel. God can move in hearts of people to change them so they love God and they serve God. That's why you're here tonight. Do you know you're a walking miracle and a talking miracle? And if God moved in your heart, can he do it in other people? Can he do it in friends and family and unsaved people? Yes, he can. And so the result of God moving is lives changed, people getting saved. And not only that, in Acts chapter 8, verse 4, it says, therefore they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. In other words, when Paul persecuted the church, Saul, the apostles stayed back in Jerusalem, but everybody else, when they left, they went everywhere they went, and guess what they were doing? They were preaching the word. You know what? I like to go out and hand out our church tracts. And I say, on this track is our website. Get on that website. That's if I can't give the whole gospel to her. I say, on that website is the Bible way to go to heaven. Would you click on to that? Would you read that? How about you? God wants you out there, and that is God moving in and through your life. Another way God moves in your life and through your life is in Acts 5:11. It says, and great fear came upon all the church and upon as many as heard these things. Do you know what? Revival in the church will bring about a revival of the fear of the Lord. Do you know why many churches lack the sense of God's presence? Because they don't believe in church discipline. And the members of the church, you shouldn't be depending on the pastor to do your work for you. You need to deal with your brothers and sisters on that. Why? Because revival depends on it. And the Bible says because the Jerusalem church had the fear of the Lord and had the discipline of the Lord, here's what it said. It said, no man durst join himself to that church. No man durst join himself because God was real in that church. You know, we need churches today that make a difference. There are too many churches today, they don't make a difference. But if God's moving in your church and in and through your life as a team, it makes a difference. If God's moving in the youth group, in the Christian school, you'll make a difference. But if you're just living for yourself and you aren't living for God, it's not going to make a difference. So God moves in and through the local church. And there was a man called Alexis de Tocqueville. In 1831, he came to America. And he came from Europe and he said, what is it that makes America different? He couldn't figure it out. He went to our Congress. He went all to the different businesses in America. He couldn't see what made America different than Europe. Finally, he went to the churches in 1831. And guess what he experienced? God still moves. He was moving in and through the preachers, in and through the people of the churches. And he said, that's what makes them different than Europe. We don't have this kind of move of God. God still moves through the fear of the Lord in the churches, through the greater works of lives changed through the gospel. God still moves. And here's the third thing that you can tell that God is moving. It says in Ezekiel 44, verse 4, Then brought he me the way of the north gate before the house. And I looked, and behold, the glory of the Lord. Ezekiel 44, verse 4. The glory of the Lord filled the house of the Lord. And I did what? I fell upon my face. Pastor Ware used to pray, God, do something in Scranton so that people will know it's not attributed to any man or group of men. It's God that's at work. When we want to take the praise to ourselves for our ministry, for our part on the team, it takes away from the glory of God. You know what glory that's called, beloved? It's called vain glory. And it's called biting and devouring one another. And it stinks. And it's so stupid because we have no reason to glory. Everything we have, whatever gift you have, God gave it to you.
Right.
So don't glory in it. Use it. And give him the glory. And that's when God is moving. There's that humility where we lay low before God. And that's when you know revival is happening. And then the last thing I want to say as far as God moving is not only the work of soul winning, not only the work of church discipline and the fear of the Lord, not only the humbling work, but the holiness work. It says in Ezekiel these words, it says, and they shall teach my people the difference between the holy and the profane, cause them to discern between the unclean and the clean. In other words, when God is moving in a church, there are Bible standards in that church. You know, I remember when God moved to me to preach and teach that there are two kinds of wine. One is alcoholic and it's bad to look at it, to get involved with. The other is not alcoholic. And that's something preachers need to be doing. I remember times in my life where I said, get rid of rock music and don't have rock music in the ministries of the church. Have the rock that doesn't roll. And if you don't have ministries of the church, you ought to get rid of it yourself. You say, well, you just don't like rock music. You're an old fogey. You're wrong. We brought in rock music, my generation. I love it in my flesh. But I choose what's going to influence me.
That's good.
Amen. And you need to do the same, beloved.
Yes.
We need to discern between a Bible that's a fake Bible and a real Bible, a holy Bible. We need to discern between the holy and the profane. I know some people don't like that kind of preaching. I know some people think you're judgmental, but that's not what God says. The work of revival is that you teach the difference between what's holy and what's profane. And by the way, the same thing goes with marriage. People say they can just shack up together without a holy covenant between God, before God and witnesses, between a man and a woman. That's what marriage is, a holy covenant before God and witnesses. That's what it is. And it's two becoming one. Have you had that holy covenant before God and witnesses? Otherwise, you just are into fornication. And there's a lot of that going on. But that's not teaching people the difference between the holy and profane. God is holy. And revival means that we get back to the high standards of the Word of God. And we teach them and we preach them not to be holier than thou. By the way, how a woman ought to dress. You know why so many people are mixed up about genders? Because a long time ago, this church started dressing like the world. And women started wearing men's pants. And now men are wearing women's everything. And they're trying to be women. Let's be different than the world. Let's preach different than the world. I'm just saying, and I'll close, God still moves. He moved way back then. He moved, secondly, back away back then. And God will move in your time. Again.
Amen.
Let's bow for prayer. Tonight, God still moves. Have you been